Emotions are, of course, completely knitted into what it means to be a human being. And if you are doing this course, it means that you are pretty sure that you are willing to work with people who are going through strong and powerful and often turbulent and difficult emotional experiences. Most of the topics that we are talking about in this program relate to life-threatening situations for people that provoke much anxiety, much fear, often a lot of anger, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, and so on. There are a lot of very intense and powerful feelings that arise in people when they're confronted with a severe health challenge. Now, it is easy for us to say that this is universal and applies to everyone. And of course, it is a very cliched but important truth that life ends for all of us, and that to some extent, most of us can expect to experience physical health challenges as our bodies age and as we move through life. But of course, these experiences aren't confined to people who are getting older. They apply to large numbers of people of all ages. And we have to integrate into this process of working as a coach in this field the, first of all, acceptance of this high emotional potential realm, and also the fact that we need to be sure in ourselves that we are willing to step into it and be with our clients when it gets choppy, that we have enough self-management in place to keep ourselves balanced and centered and focused in a way that is going to mean that we stay useful to our clients whilst they might be experiencing high degrees of intense emotions. Now, I am very keen that we make sure that we understand that we are not talking about asking coaches to not be empathetic or be emotionally connected to our clients. In fact, the opposite. We are certain in our experiences as recovery to wellness coaches, and I certainly am certain of my own experience, that when we are able to offer the natural human warmth and compassion to our clients as they go through difficult emotional times, this will serve them much better than us attempting to stay as unemotional, unattached, detached figures who are just in a role of observing their emotional turmoil. This is a hard balancing act to negotiate, and it is certainly one that is a prime topic for coaching supervision and taking to those people around you who support you in the work that you do as a recovery to wellness coach. It is vital, though, that we are able to distinguish between appropriate empathetic connection with our clients as opposed to being caught up in their emotional field in a way that tips us over into our own experience of emotions that are similar and that obscure the coaching role. Now, this is something that is really only built up through experience of coaching as opposed to theorizing about it. But nevertheless, it is important for us to make sure that we keep this very much at the front of our awareness about this process. Recovery to wellness journeys for people are emotional journeys. People want to feel good. They want to feel better. They want to feel hope, joy. They want to feel those good feelings. They want to be connected to meaning and purpose. They want to feel that their lives are valuable to them, to others, that they can contribute, that what they do matters, and that they are in some way that they decide for themselves, participating in their one and only unique life in a way that is going to fulfill the potential of it. Now, that is a very, very emotional journey. It is not an intellectual exercise. And it is the significance of emotion in this arena that makes us really understand that we cannot just apply a set of logical and intellectual rationalizations to the process of recovery. People do not overeat or take drugs or drink too much or work all the time to the detriment of their health and so on because they want to feel bad. People adopt most of these behavioral strategies as a way to feel better, as a way to feel good. At least they do so initially. Think about children and sweets. Children love sweets. They love the feeling, they love the taste, the charge that they get, the sort of high that they get as the body's chemicals change and physiologically they receive a jolt to their bodies. And children love sugar, and we all know that, and we all know that chocolate is something that people love as well. And so the idea that eating of sugar initially is something that children do to feel bad is not a valid point of view on which to understand why people adopt certain kinds of behaviors. Eating ice cream can be extremely pleasurable, even at the same time as it is adding kilos and pounds to your body weight. So it's important to understand that the process that you are entering into with your clients is as much about going into and traveling with them through their emotional world, and that the emphasis really is on trying to see how they might rebuild their lives that brings about sufficient good feeling for them emotionally that they will perceive and experience and evaluate this process that they're in as being worthwhile. By the time people have reached a place of real challenge around one of these healthcare challenges, they have often left far behind a lot of the pleasure and are now experiencing a lot of the pain. That pain may be in the form of ill health, which is now giving them emotional anxiety. It may be the suffering of loved ones, the breakdown of relationships, and so on. It is true to say that what often starts out as a really great strategy to feel good often ends up being a set of behaviors that actually bring about more of not feeling good than was initially anticipated. So this is the underlying ground of this work, and it is important that we make sure that we are always looking through the emotional lens, even as we consider things intellectually and through perhaps some of the models that we use as coaches. We want to always understand that it always contains an emotional context.